In case you noticed, I didn't get it, only sent it to Bernard instead. For those who are wondering about baptism, I really encourage you guys to come out today to the baptism service, because we have six young folk who, they believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior, and now they're taking that step to publicly profess it within the community, within the body here. And as they're taking that step forward, it's not just them saying to us that they believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior. It's also us saying we are going to walk with them and encourage them and support them in their faith journey. So I really want to encourage everyone to come out and take part in the baptism service today. And for those who are not baptized and have been thinking about it, do it. Get baptized. Take the step. If you believe in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, there's no reason not to get baptized. So if you have been thinking, but you're making every excuse in the book not to do it, just take the plunge and get, no, what's that word? I didn't mean to make the pun, but just take the plunge and get baptized. So, okay. Well, we're actually ahead of schedule. Praise was supposed to be 20 minutes, the videos were supposed to be about 20 minutes, and I was supposed to be 20 minutes, and we'd be done. But I think we're actually we have to be done by 12:30, otherwise you don't get to eat. So I'm sure everyone wants me to finish early, but I think we're good on time. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much that you have come, that you have died, that you have conquered sin and death, and that you are resurrected and you are alive. Lord, we thank you that you have done all of this, the suffering, the pain, the shame, because of your love for us. So, Lord, we thank you. We come together to worship you. And, Lord, we ask that as we've come today, I know we all come with different things on our hearts and on our minds, but as we come today, may we just focus on the work that you have done on the cross for us. May we focus on your love for us, what you have done, your resurrection, and may it lead us and guide us always, Lord. Not just on Easter Sunday, not just on Good Friday, but all the time, every day of the year, Lord. May we be reminded and be guided by your love for us and what you have done. So, Lord, we ask that you would speak here in this place, that you would use me as a vessel to speak your truth, not my words, but your words, Lord. And may all glory and honor be yours. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. One thing I never understood about TV shows and movies was when the bad guys catch the good guy, and instead of killing the good guy off right away, they leave him there and leave. And it's like, if the bad guy just killed him, it'd be done, over, finished. But you know what happens? After the bad boss leaves, the good guy ends up escaping, turns around, catches the bad guy, and wins. And it always happens. If the boss, the bad boss, the Dilo, had just killed him then and there, you don't laugh at my jokes, but you laugh at my Chinese. If the boss had just killed him then and there, he would have gotten away. But he always lets them live, and the guy always comes back to haunt them. When we left Jesus on Friday, his enemies were a lot smarter than the ones we see on TV. His enemies made sure that Jesus was dead. They tortured him, they whipped him, nailed him to a cross, and for good measure, they stuck a spear through his side. They were not going to be like these guys on TV. They wanted to make sure that Jesus was dead. And Luke tells us that after Jesus died on the cross, Joseph of Arimathea took his body and placed it in his own tomb and sealed it with a large stone. There's no doubt about it. Jesus, on Friday, was dead, killed for our sins. But on Sunday has come, and things are different on Sunday. On Sunday, Jesus is risen. He is risen indeed. There's no doubt about it. He was dead on Friday, but today we celebrate his resurrection. Easter Sunday is what sets Christianity apart from every other religion. Muslims can't say that Muhammad is alive. Buddhists can't say that Buddha is alive. Confucians can't say that Confucius is alive. There is no other religion that can say that the deity they believe in is alive. Yet we can boldly proclaim that Jesus is alive. Our Savior lives. He is risen. He is risen indeed. And that fact changes everything. It changed things for the women that went to the tomb that morning. Luke tells us that early in the morning, the women went to the tomb where Jesus was buried. In Luke 24:1, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. When they arrive, they're confused. The giant stone that had been rolled in front of the tomb had been rolled away. That, in and of itself, was no easy task. But more so than that, Jesus' body was nowhere to be found. Luke tells us that they were wondering what had happened to Jesus' body in verse 4. While they were wondering about this, they're confused. They went looking for a dead body and they find an empty grave. Some of the thoughts that may have run through their minds. Did the Romans come and take Jesus' body away? Or maybe they thought, did someone break into the tomb and steal Jesus' body? Or maybe they even thought, Joseph of Arimathea guy, maybe he wasn't really a nice guy. And maybe he had some diabolical plan when he asked to take Jesus' body. We don't know what they were thinking, but I think we can be pretty confident of what they weren't thinking. They most likely were not thinking that Jesus had been resurrected from the dead. We know this because verse 1 tells us, the women took spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. Those spices were spices that were used on dead bodies. In fact, at the end of Luke chapter 23, Luke tells us, after Jesus is dead, the women go to prepare these spices for Jesus' body. They go expecting a dead body. That's why when the angel says in verse 5, why do you look for the living among the dead? They're shocked. They came to look for the dead where the dead should be. They're expecting Jesus to still be dead and lying in this tomb, and they can't imagine the possibility that Jesus could be resurrected. At least they don't until verse 8. Verse 8, Luke tells us, then they remembered his words. Then they remembered what Jesus had said to them. And excited to hear that Jesus is alive, the women go back to the disciples. The women go back and tell them everything that had happened. But these disciples, these sad, pathetic disciples, the ones that ran and hid, the ones that kept failing Jesus over and over again, we're told in verse 11, but they did not believe the women because their words seemed like nonsense. Testimony of the women catches the disciples off guard. They have trouble reconciling the possibility that Jesus could be alive. Especially after what they saw a few days earlier. They saw Jesus nailed to the cross. They saw the spear driven through his side. They have trouble believing what these women are seeing. And in some ways, it's understandable. The women never actually saw Jesus alive. They just saw an empty tomb, no body, and these two men telling them that Jesus is risen. They never actually saw it. So I would imagine as they went back and the disciples are asking questions, did you see him? What does he look like? They're probably, actually, we didn't see him. So in some ways, it's understandable that the men, the disciples, are having trouble believing these women. In other ways, culturally, that's exactly what would have happened. Women, the testimony of women was generally considered not credible in those times. So if you... Women were not trusted, and given the choice between a man's testimony and a woman's testimony, people would accept the man's testimony. We still see this in many Middle Eastern countries, where a woman will say that she was raped, and the accused, the man, will say it was consensual, and generally the man's word is taken as more credible than the woman's. So as the women are telling the disciples that Jesus was alive, it's almost understandable that they wouldn't believe them. They didn't see Jesus alive. It's women who are saying this. Maybe they're emotional. Maybe they're seeing things. Who knows? But I think that's part of the remarkableness of this whole thing. If Jesus wanted people to believe that he was alive, culturally it would have made more sense for him to show himself to the men first. But he doesn't. He shows himself to the women. Maybe it's because the women had shown more faith in him. Maybe it was because the women were the ones who hung around Jesus as he was being crucified while the men ran and hid. Maybe it was just out of convenience. I mean, it was the women who went to the tomb. It was the women who were at that tomb that morning, not the guys. The guys were sleeping. Who knows what they were doing? They were nowhere near the tomb. And so maybe it was just a matter of convenience. But I don't think it was either of those reasons. I think it was a faith lesson for everyone involved. The women knew their testimony would not be taken at face value. They knew that they would be looked upon with suspicion. So for them to go around telling people that Jesus was alive would not be easy. They didn't see the resurrected Lord with their own eyes. They are women in a time when women's testimony is not usually accepted. It would not be easy for them to go and tell the disciples, let alone anyone else, that Jesus is alive. This is a test of their faith. It's hard enough to believe that Jesus could come back from the dead after what they saw, but would these women have the boldness and the courage to go and actually tell people that Jesus is alive? And these women do just that. They have the courage and the boldness. They don't care what people think of them. They don't care if people think they're crazy, if people don't believe them. They know that they've got good news and they need to get out there and share that good news. They have to go out and tell the world. And so the first stop is the disciples. They go to the disciples to tell them, Jesus is alive. It's a lesson we can learn from these women. The tomb is empty. Jesus is alive. We haven't seen him. I haven't seen him. Maybe some of you here have seen him, but I haven't seen him. But we need to go out and tell the world. Is the world going to believe us? Is the world going to accept our testimony? Or is the world going to think we're a bunch of nut jobs? That doesn't matter. It didn't matter to the women, and it shouldn't matter to us. We have the greatest news in the world, and we need to share it. Jesus was dead on Friday, buried in that tomb. But Sunday, Jesus is alive. He is risen. He is risen indeed. And we need to be out there sharing that. We can't let our fear, we can't let what other people will think of us deter us from doing what we are called to do. Like the women, I think it is a faith test for us. Do we have the boldness to go out and proclaim in this world that Jesus is alive, knowing full well what the reaction to us may be? But who knows? Who knows? Maybe when we step out in faith like the women did, it will plant the seeds of faith in some of the people who hear it. It may not bring them to their knees to say, I believe in Jesus right away, but maybe it will plant some seeds of faith. Verse 11 and verse 12 say, but they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. All indications from this are that Peter is included in the they. Peter doesn't believe them. The disciples don't believe them. But for whatever reason, Peter doesn't just sit there. Peter gets up and runs to the tomb. 11 disciples heard what the women say. 11 disciples heard the words of the women. Yet only one of them did something. 10, maybe all 11, think that the women are talking nonsense, but one of them does something. Sometimes I think that ratio might be pretty accurate. Of that, for every 11 people we tell about Jesus, maybe one of them will do something. Maybe one of them will do something. I say do something because even though Peter gets up and goes to the tomb, all indications are he doesn't believe this himself yet. Verse 12, second half of verse 12 says, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened. So he goes to the tomb, sees that what they have said is true, that Jesus isn't there, yet he still doesn't believe them. Yet he doesn't know what to make of this. The words that they say are mostly right. Jesus isn't there. What could have happened? And so now he's wondering. Scholars debate whether the Greek word for wondering implies faith in Peter at this point or not. But most scholars say it doesn't. They say that Peter's actual faith in Jesus being resurrected doesn't come until later. And they point to verse 34 in chapter 24, that at a later appearance to Peter, that is where Peter is finally convinced that Jesus is alive. In other words, Peter doesn't have full faith yet. But the seeds of that faith were planted when the women told the disciples what they had seen. When the women spoke to them about what they had seen, it put something in the heart of Peter that's got him wondering. Wondering enough to run down to the tomb and look, and now seeing the empty tomb, wondering enough, what could have happened? All because these women, whose testimony would not be believed most likely, knew that they could not keep silent, knew that they had to share this good news with the people around them. Who knows what would have happened to Peter if the women had said nothing? Maybe they would have just hid out in that room for the next 5 years. Who knows? Maybe they would have run off somewhere else because they would have thought, no, these women are crazy. Let's not hang around them. Or maybe they would have just taken off. Who knows what would have happened if the women had not said anything? If the woman had not said anything, Peter would not have gone to the tomb. We know that. If the women had not said anything, Peter would not have gone to the tomb and started wondering, I wonder what happened. And maybe, if the women had not said anything, maybe Peter wouldn't have actually believed that Jesus was resurrected. But because the women spoke, the seeds of faith were planted in Peter. Then when he saw the empty tomb, it gave him cause for thought. So when Jesus appears to him, Peter's heart is finally ready to believe. Why? Because the women did what they had to do. They told them the good news. Then God took over and started working in his heart until he was ready to see Jesus and believe. I'm a horrible, horrible evangelist. I admit it. I think my track record of bringing people to Christ is like half, maybe. But the one episode that I remember the most happened in my first year of seminary. I played hockey on the region intramural team, and we didn't have enough players, so we went and found some players from UBC, and one of them was a First Nations gentleman named Fred. Really nice guy, big, kind of scary and intimidating. Great to have on your hockey team because everyone's scared of him. But one day he asked me to come out and play hockey with him in the morning. So I said, sure, why not? Went and played, and then he's like, hey, you want to come over for breakfast? Sure, why not? Started talking and talking and talking, and as we were talking over breakfast, I felt like I needed to share the gospel with him. And so kind of like very awkwardly, very randomly, as we're eating breakfast, I told him about Jesus. And I was expecting, like, as soon as I tell him about Jesus, he's going to break down in tears, get down on his hands and knees and say, yes, I want to believe in Jesus. And I said, and I'm waiting for him, and he's still sitting there eating his breakfast. And I'm like, oh, dang it. And I left that morning very disheartened. I left that morning very disheartened because I really felt like God was telling me I need to share the gospel with him. Yet after I did, nothing happened. I thought I would be like the new Asian Billy Graham, but it didn't work that way. And for a while, I was wondering like what that was all about. But a few months down the road, I started getting the sense that that was just a step in Fred's process. And I needed to be faithful to the step that God had called me to in that process. I wasn't going to be the one who was going to bring him to faith, but I needed to be part of that process in planting a seed in him. And to this day, I still wonder. He's from BC, so sometimes I think maybe I'll run into him somewhere. But I still wonder what happened to Fred, if he ever came to faith. But what I am confident of is I did what I needed to do. If I hadn't shared the gospel with him at that breakfast, I would have missed out, and Fred would have missed out. Maybe we need to take our faith more seriously. Maybe we need to stop thinking about Jesus being risen only on Easter Sunday and start sharing the fact that he is risen with those around us, even if it means people thinking we're a bunch of nut jobs, even if it means people going, whatever. Maybe we need to stop letting our fear run us and start letting the good news that Jesus is risen, that he is risen indeed, start motivating us. Yes, Jesus was resurrected on Easter Sunday, but the story doesn't end there either. It didn't end on Good Friday, and it doesn't end on Easter Sunday. It continues past. And our part in this story may not always be to bring someone to faith, but we still have a part in this story. And a lot of times our part is sharing our faith with those around us. And maybe it's planting the seed. Maybe it's watering that seed. And for some of the fortunate ones, maybe it's reaping the harvest of that seed. We may not know this side of heaven what part we've played in that process. But if we don't play our part, if we are not faithful to what God has called us to and do not play our part, whether it's planting the seed, whether it's watering the seed, whether it's harvesting, if we are not faithful to what God has called us to and we do not play the part that God has called us to, it messes up the whole process. Sure, maybe they will still come to faith 5, 10, 15, 30, 50 years down the road. But what if they come to faith 10, 15, 20 years late because we didn't do our part? Because when God wanted us to share the gospel with them, we were too scared. And because of that, our friend, our neighbor, our coworker misses out on Jesus for another 5, 10, 15, 20 years. Maybe if the women hadn't told the disciples that day, it would have taken another 5, 10, 15, 20 years for Peter to come to believe that Jesus is alive. We don't know. But because the women did their part, Peter's heart was softened, and it was getting ready so that when Jesus appeared to him, Peter was ready to accept and believe that Jesus is resurrected. We all have a part to play. All our parts are different. And sometimes our parts, we play different parts in the lives of different people. But we have to be faithful to the call that God has put on us and play the part that we have been called to. And who knows what God will do when we've done that? Let's pray. Lord, we know that it was probably very difficult for those women to go back and to tell the disciples that you were alive, especially since they didn't see you. Yet they had the boldness and the courage to go and proclaim that you are risen, that you are risen indeed to those disciples. And the seeds of faith planted by the faithfulness of those women grew into the church today. So Lord, help us to be faithful when you call us. Help us to be faithful when you speak to us to share the gospel. Whatever step in the process it may be, help us to be faithful to you and to trust that as we are faithful to you, you will do amazing things. Because you've already done the most amazing thing ever. You've been resurrected for us. So, Lord, we thank you. We love you. We praise you. We give all glory and honor to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's all rise. We'll sing Christ is Risen in response. Let no one caught in sin remain inside the lie of inward shame, but fix our eyes upon the cross and run to Him who showed great love and bled for us. Freely and bled for us. Christ is risen from the dead, trampling over death by death. Come awake, come awake, come and rise up from the grave. Christ is risen from the dead, we are one with Him again. Come awake, come awake, come and rise up from the grave. Beneath the weight of all our sin, you bow to none but heaven's will. No scheme of hell, no scoffer's crown, no burden great can hold you down. In strength you reign. Forever let your church proclaim. Christ is risen from the dead, trampling over death by death. Come awake, come awake, come and rise up from the grave. Christ is risen from the dead, we are one with Him again. Come awake, come awake, come and rise up from the grave. And oh death, where is your sting? And oh hell, where is your victory? And oh church, come stand in the light. The glory of God has defeated the night. Oh death, where is your sting? Oh hell, where is your victory? And oh church, come stand in the light. Our God is not dead, He's alive, He's alive. Christ is risen from the dead, trampling over death by death. Come away, come away, come and rise up from the grave. Risen from the dead, we are one with Him again. Come awake, come awake, come and rise up from the grave.
Let us pray.